Whatever one may think about the armed anti-government militias who occupied a federal building in Oregon on January 2nd, it's hard to deny that they benefited, especially initially, from a different media approach than other groups would almost certainly receive. The Malheur National Wildlife Refuge was not occupied when Eamon and Ryan Bundy and their cohorts moved in, but the group made it clear they were willing to use violence and they hoped to inspire a larger anti-government uprising. They're the sons of right-wing extremist Cliven Bundy, who led a similar standoff in 2014 in which armed militias occupied federal land, pointed guns at law enforcement, and got fairly gracious media coverage until he started talking about things he knew about the Negro. Nevertheless, as Ben Norton noted for FAIR.org, media reports like that from the Associated Press spoke of a peaceful protest. Not just not making clear that the militants were armed, but implying that they were not, telling readers that, quote, some local residents feared that the Saturday rally would involve more than speeches, flags, and marching. But the only real additions to that list seemed to be songs, flowers, and pennies, close quote. Protesters evidently threw pennies at courthouse doors to signify civilians buying back their government. It doesn't imply a call for a violent police crackdown in Oregon to simply acknowledge that this treatment differs meaningfully from coverage of, for example, Black Lives Matter activists, who are often portrayed by media as dangerous even when they are peaceful, and whose movement has led media to leap on sketchy claims like that of an anarchist plot to ambush cops on Halloween, or a teen purge designed to terrorize citizens of Baltimore, or a baseless claim of increased crime as a result. Nor does it seem too much to suggest that laughing it off might not be the most appropriate response to armed people organized around a far-right ideology who are successfully using threats of violence to advance their political agenda. The Washington Post's Catherine Rampell used a December 24th column to dismiss as benighted college students protesting racism and sexism on campus. If students want to feel like victims, Rampell advised, there are very real underappreciated ways they're being economically victimized. What are the things those silly kids really ought to be upset about? Well, the headline tips you off. College students should aim their rage at older Americans, not administrators. Yes, it's still another iteration of what Dean Baker called a popular Washington pastime, trying to get young people angry at their parents and grandparents so that they're not bothered by the enormous upward redistribution of income taking place in the country. Rampell says, quote, our politicians are paying off older, higher voter turnout Americans in the form of generous benefits that those older people have not paid for and never will, which means the tab will need to be picked up by someone else, i.e. someone younger, close quote. She points to Medicare as paying out much more than is paid in taxes, saying that's just one way spending on the old is crowding out spending on the young. Well, you probably get the idea because you've probably heard it before, but repetition doesn't add to the argument's truthfulness. As Baker explains, and you can find the full piece on FAIR.org, most of the reason the value of Medicare benefits exceeds the value of the taxes paid is not the generosity of the benefits received by our seniors. The main cause is the fact that we pay our doctors twice as much as doctors in Canada, Germany, and other wealthy countries. We also pay twice as much for our drugs and medical equipment. This is a case of upward redistribution from the rest of us to members of the 1%. But rather than talking about how the rich raise the cost of our health care, Rampell wants us to be upset at seniors. This is not to mention that Social Security also provides survivor and disability benefits that often help the young, or to ask how cutting benefits for many older people or people with disabilities who live with their children or grandchildren would help anyone. Rampell's rhetoric misses the bigger picture, that the tax burdens associated with government debt or Social Security are a relatively small part of the overall economy that will be passed on to the younger generation. What, for example, of the generational inequity presumed by forcing children to grow up with parents who are unemployed or living in poverty because the debt-obsessed Beltway-minded won't let us spend the money to employ them or let them have decently paid jobs? Well, finally, Rampell's invocation of the boogeyman, political correctness, entitlements, and old people, oh my, is standard fare for The Washington Post. That worldview will be even less contested now that the paper has decided to end its contract with Harold Meyerson, a progressive reporter whose weekly pieces have run in the paper for the last 13 years. Meyerson wrote often about labor and government policy that benefited the haves over the have-nots. He's still editor-at-large of the American Prospect and writes for the LA Times, but evidently Washington Post opinion page editor Fred Hyatt told Meyerson his columns had bad social media metrics and focused too much on issues like worker power. So, readers looking for alternative visions to that of Rampell's, of greedy old people sucking up benefits as an appropriate source of public rage, will have even less reason to pick up the paper. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.